Hey guys, it's your favorite sisters with the Confessions of a Reluctant Caregiver show on UK Health Radio. On the show, you'll hear caregivers confessing the good, the bad, and the completely unexpected. You're guaranteed to relate, be inspired, leave with helpful tips and resources, and of course, laugh. Now, let's jump right in to today's guest confession.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Nat.
Guess what today is?
Oh my gosh. I don't know, Natalie. Why are we here?
Oh, it's time for another confession. And guess who we have today?
Jennifer Aniston.
No, but close.
Oh.
Basically the same, but better.
Brad Pitt?
No, Chris McClellan.
Oh my gosh, that is so much better.
He's so awesome. And Chris is on here, clearly. Chris is just sitting here watching us be idiots.
That's true.
I thought you were going to say Wilford Brimley.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Wilford? Well, he's kind of my double, but he's since passed on, but that's okay.
Okay. Notice the pregnant pause. The whole audience were all like.
That's right.
Who is that?
We're all going to go look that up. Hello. We should say Google. Hello, Siri.
You'll definitely recognize him.
Okay. Everybody, we will post that photo along with our podcast.
I am so excited though to have Chris because Jay, you know, we've had lots of conversations with Chris and he is a sibling. We have lots of honorary sisters, but we don't have brothers. And Chris is our brother for sure. Wrong on so many levels.
Yep.
I just fit right in.
Yeah, that's true. Totally do.
It was kind of like from the first day we all talked.
We were besties.
It's been months ago. So.
Oh my God, we were besties.
You know, well, I mean, I can do your bio and everything, Chris, and you're the founder, of course, and CEO of the Whole Care Network. The Whole Care Network, which, folks, if you're not on that, that's a whole network and it's about caregiving. You know, that's where our podcast is hosted or one of the places that it's posted. And there's loads of podcasts on there. If you're not familiar with it, you need to get on it. Whole Care Network.
Friend Nicole's on there.
Oh, that's
true. We've had Nicole on.
Yeah, Elizabeth on
Miller
there.
With Happy Healthy Caregiver. She's awesome too. We're going to get her on
Chris,
our show.
Chris, we're just promoting everybody.
We're promoting everybody.
It's resourceful. I like that. All care. All the time.
I love that. I love, Chris, that you, I feel like people, we like want to give you the kudos because you have, since the very beginning, you've been a big supporter. You're like a promoter for us, but you're also a mentor. And so you're always sharing information and you're an inspiration. And we love you.
We're like a Chris fan.
Yeah.
We're a Chris fan.
Okay. Now we're going to get serious.
Okay. Pull it together.
Okay. So Chris, his caregiving journey is a story of terminal illness with his partner, Richard, who passed on. But you were featured in a 2015 Pulitzer Prize nominated story entitled In Sickness and in Health, A Couple's Final Journey, which is beautiful. That journey propelled you to write a book because what's the deal with caregiving? And from that, you developed the Whole Care Network. And today you've hosted multiple podcasts, have podcasts on. And what I love is that the goal is to share stories, which we do, to support caregivers before, during, and after caregiving, which is a wow. So thank you for being here.
Yeah. Well,
so let's talk because you pass wisdom on to us, everything. You have passed so many nuggets on to me personally about my journey. And tell us everything.
Tell us about your journey.
Yeah, tell us about it.
You were born and then just... push forward.
And then you became a caregiver. Well, actually my four sisters would say a few other things.
Oh, but, that's important to note. He has four sisters.
I do. They're all older.
Oh, fantastic. Chris is the baby.
I am the baby. I talk about my sisters quite a bit. I have a brother as well. But I know that I got my care gene from my sisters. Mm. You know, I have 25 nieces and nephews, some of which are right around my age because my oldest sister is 18 years older than me.
Wow.
And her friends at high school used to say, they'd see me as a young adult. They'd say, well, you know, I used to change your diaper in high school. And I said, oh my God.
That feels so great. I'm so glad you said it in public.
Thank you. But I'm very fortunate to be the youngest because I was able to gain so much knowledge and experience from watching my siblings raise their kids and the love and care that they had. And that that kind of just propelled me when was my turn to be a caregiver.
That's a good way to put it. My turn. Because everybody gets a turn.
Everybody's going to have a turn.
Everybody gets a turn. Yeah. Everybody it's not the turn you sign up for either. They're like, oh.
No.
What is it you say, Chris?
I haven't met one person that's had caregiving on their bucket list of things to do in life.
Preach.
That's it.
You know.
Absolutely. Not,
I kept looking at my bucket list. I didn't see it. But yeah. When Richard was diagnosed with esophageal cancer, mm-hmm. we were thrust into that role. And mm-hmm. I have a background in social work, and I've worked in senior care. I've worked in churches. I've helped others as a role as a social worker. But when you're in, when the roles reverse and they change, and you become the one who is in need of the information and referral, it's different.
I think it is different. It was different for me. I mean, as a fellow social worker, I forgot because right. I knew you were a social worker because I knew that's why we immediately connected.
That's why
more than you and JJ. And
not commenting on that.
You cannot. JJ threw out. Y'all notice how JJ threw out like, oh, he's talked to me more than Natalie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think that's important because no matter how prepared you think you are, it hits you completely differently mm-hmm. when you have the role, when you're in the different seat. It's about what seat you're in, right? And so go ahead.
Exactly. And the emotions that are attached to it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The person that's entrusted in your care, whether that's a parent or a sibling or a spouse or a partner, mm-hmm. I always like to say, it's like having two relationships in one. That relationship that was already established was always there. And then this thing called caregiving pops in and it changes the relationship. For some people, it strengthens the relationship. It did for Richard and I. Mm-hmm. But for other people, it doesn't. It has an impact on the relationship. Everything I say today and anytime I'm talking to another caregiver, a lot of this is learned after the fact, because when you're in the middle of it, you're often reacting.
Right.
You're testing new water. So there's 9 zillion things I'd like to do different if mm-hmm. I had from that experience. But that's why folks like myself stay in it, because we know that the information that we've and the experience that we have, even if we just share it with one person who's coming after us, we know that we're helping them.
Yeah. Now, so, you talk. Oh, go ahead. No, excuse me. Did you watch us? We always are like, what?
I never knew sisters talked over one another. Something new.
I'm going to start using my hand.
Yeah, we feel like we should raise our hand, when people are watching us on YouTube. So you talk about the things, Chris, that you were reactive during the time when you were really super active when you were in it with Richard. So how long have you had to reflect? What year did Richard pass?
Well, Richard passed and we just celebrated. That's not the right word, but right. It was 9 years on March 9th.
Yeah.
And actually it's today that we're celebrating where the story was published in the newspaper. It was 9 years ago, right around this time, 12 or 13th that we're recording this.
Yeah.
I've had 9 years since my caregiving journey has ended. And
the active caregiving, because it's you're still in it. Yeah.
I'm still in it.
You're still reflecting.
Life after caregiving can be just as tumultuous as caregiving. It's uncharted waters. Yeah. And it's not often talked about. In our Western culture, we don't often talk about our feelings as it relates to when life transitioned. And there was times people criticized me for my grief, and I don't really understand that. But I do know that there are these three components to caregiving, the before, during, and after have all different impacts. And I think that's why, folks that I've had the privilege of meeting on this journey, and you guys are a perfect example of this in the midst of caregiving. You want to share your experience because you know that it's going to be helpful. But with that, it's also cathartic.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah.
So when you were, I want to back up a little bit further. So I think about, because Richard was your partner. How long had you guys been together? And then how long was his illness? How did that change your relationship? How did that impact? Because I think about me and Jason and it, you said caregiving changes a relationship. I'm going to say
1,000%. That is so 100% true. And you, it's hard to, when you're in the middle of it, it's so hard to see that it's how it's really changing your relationship until you kind of look back almost
until you
like
look back, right?
You don't even realize it's changed until it's
because
changed.
When you're in the middle of it,
yeah,
you don't see those subtle changes that happen, right. Whether it's physical, spiritual, personal. You don't notice it because you're in the midst of it every day. But you know, we had 11 wonderful years together, mm-hmm. and he was diagnosed in early 2011, mm-hmm. given 3 to 4 months to live, and lived another 29 months.
Wow. That has to be hard when you have a diagnosis. Like, it's one thing for the individual to say, and we've not talked to anybody about this like this, and I hope this is okay. You can say too much, but we've not, you know, it's one thing for the individual themselves to say, you have 3 to 4 months, 5 months to live for the individual. But I can't imagine what it's like for you as a caregiver for the lovey. That's what I look at it. You're the lovey. And what do you do with that?
What do you do?
Like,
and you know,
you get pissed and you just go start throwing crap and you literally, cause I would be mad. I would just, that's hard.
I remember this day like it was yesterday, and it's been, you know, whatever, we're in 2023. So it's probably 11 or 12 years ago, but when the oncologist, and I'll just give you I'll try to do the Cliff Note version, but, you know, the oncologist came in and given all these stories, you know, there's where the cancer is, mm-hmm. these are the options. And so Richard stepped out and went to the restroom. And so then I looked at the oncologist and I said, okay, so, you know, what are we looking here? What's the time frame? And he said, you know, 3 to 4 months, let him do whatever he wants to do. Mm. And it's like, oh my God. But here's a key, I think. And again, every caregiving situation is different. Every relationship is different.
Yeah.
I knew Richard better than the oncologist did.
Yeah.
And I made a conscious decision that I was going to give this a month before I told him. I wanted to see, we were going to start doing, you know, we were going to do a little treatments. I wanted to see how he reacted after being off the treatments and being at home. You know, he had, goodness, he had probably lost 30 pounds. Mm-hmm. He was a fighter. I mean, he grew up in Brooklyn, lived in Manhattan. He was 5'2". He took no prisoners.
Yeah.
And I made that conscious decision knowing that if I saw him deteriorating, I would have that conversation with him.
Yeah.
I told him a year later, I said, you know,
look at this.
Isn't that interesting? The doctor didn't tell him the time frame and that he didn't even,
He didn't ask. No.
It's almost like blissful ignorance in that sense.
You know, Richard came from this era of Stonewall and living in New York in the 60s and being, you know, the other interesting component of our relationship is he always liked to say, well, you know, I'm an agnostic Jew and you're a Catholic seminarian. I said, well, that's a perfect match. But he was one of the most spiritual people that I'd ever met.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So he was grounded. And that's why I felt comfortable. And this is where the intertanglings of a relationship comes in.
Absolutely.
You know, I felt comfortable holding that back, knowing that if this was going south quickly, that I was going to have to say something. But on a sidebar to that, he and I already had started the conversation about end of life, what the wishes were, what he wanted at end of life. I knew exactly where the paperwork was done. I all throughout that journey, any decision that I made was I could reference because he and I had that conversation about what his wishes were. You know, my role in this and every caregiver's role, no matter what, no matter if you're a daughter, a spouse, a friend, the role is that of an advocate. You're speaking on behalf of the person that you're caring for. There was times when I didn't really agree with some of his thoughts, but you know what? I wasn't the one taking the radiation treatments. Yeah. I wasn't going to chemotherapy. I was there as the co-pilot supporting him 100%. Yeah. I shared in the sadness, but I wasn't taking the medicine. Yeah. And I think that's what, you know, the message of our stories, they all resonate in caregiving because, you know, it's the stories of what binds us all together.
the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UK Radio to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You know, one of the nuggets that you gave me several months ago, Chris, was we talked about the words that mom shared with me, those hurtful words. And what you said to me was, you know, remember, it's the disease, JJ. You know, it's the disease talking.
It's the disease talking. Yeah.
And that's just beautiful to me, because I think so many times you have to realize that when you're being hurt, or it is. And what you said there with, you know, it's you're sharing the sadness, but you're not taking the medicine. People have to realize that.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, you want to do what you can.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to take the pain away from him.
Yeah.
But I also have to recognize that our caregiving capes are limited. You know, we can't change somebody else's destiny. As much as I'd like to snap and say, oh, be gone, esophageal cancer. This is, you know, we're limited in what we can do over and above supporting and being there for the person. And I think also, not to be Pollyannic, and I certainly get that there's some people that can't do this job.
Yeah.
And that's okay too. Mm-hmm. Just step up and admit it.
Yeah.
Don't do something that you don't feel like you want to do, because that puts both people in a very precarious situation. So,
you know, I think that's so true. I think you have to give yourself permission to tag yourself out or raise your hand to say, I'm not the right person to do this. And it doesn't mean I'm lesser. Because if you can't, you know, you can, again, it goes back to almost like Pollyanna, you should go into it with a joyful heart, knowing that there are times that your heart is going to feel like Satan's playground has been there. Because I can tell you, like, JJ can say some of the things that people say that are hurtful, but I am guilty of getting a feeling pushed. And I go into it. I like went into it with Jason, and I was like, my cape was really long.
Your cape was flowing.
Flowing. I am that daughterhood, that chick that with the cape flow thing behind her. That's the best. Mm-hmm. But the problem was, is then I felt like somebody kept stepping on it and my throat gets choked. And some of the things that probably came out of my mouth out of frustration, because my cape kept getting
big visualization there.
Beep.
I got it too.
Like,
so let me ask, because I know that you have like a toolbox of resources as far as the ways that you got through it. You guys started a blog together, and the Purple Jacket.
The Purple Jacket blog, right.
And it was, I look at it. So is that one of the ways, because you share that story, and I probably, you weren't like a big blogger before. Like, is this your first?
That was my first endeavor into this. And that's how this all got started. You know, we did the blog together.
Yeah.
It was a symbolism, because I have a purple jacket I still have the purple jacket, by the way, the original purple jacket that I can't fit into, but that's a whole other story.
You know what? Just because it got in the dryer doesn't
I pray one day that there was a couple of years ago where I did get into it just a little bit. But no, it was kind of like our symbolism. And through that experience, we met a number of people along the way. We got connected with an online support group. Mm-hmm. And some of those folks that I'm still in touch with today. But it was something that, again, it was cathartic. And you think back 2011, we're 12 years past that now, how different technology is. I mean, that little blog, that's why when I go back and look at it, it's like, oh my God, what a mess. But it's what's there though, and I appreciate you saying that, JJ, is that, you know, that's the home of our story.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never take that down. It's like $12 a year to look at it. But, you know, people connected with us there.
Yeah.
You know, Richard's nickname, TLO, was born from there. TLO, the little one. Richard was a foot shorter than me.
Oh.
And he loved it. You know, he loved the comments. You know, people would say, how's TLO doing today? And, you know, what that did for me, it's kind of propelled me. You know, I had mentors along the way. It kind of propelled me into this. I've never really had the right word because I don't look at it as a business. I don't look at it, kind of like a calling.
Yeah.
I have 5-6 years in the Catholic seminary and for a lot of reasons, this is kind of like a ministerial component for me because, it touches all those areas that ministry does without the formal ordination. Because you're helping people, you're helping people get through struggles and sharing the your background and what worked, what didn't work for us. It's always going to be a part of me one way or another.
Yeah, but here's the thing: you're a social worker. Yeah. You were, if there's something in your, as you grew up with your sisters, especially, I mean, yes, you have a brother, whatever, but, but if you,
and we get along, I get along really well with my
brother. And that's really super sweet. Yeah. And so, sisters. And so but you have sisters. And so FYI, you can see a little teeny bit on the left-hand side. If you're watching the YouTube, you can see some of Chris's sisters in the background. And now he's turning his camera. So
they're beautiful. It's
wonderful.
All these
sisters.
Family photos.
I love I think, you're a social worker, though. It totally makes sense to me that you're going to say, because you're a helper, you're a servant.
That's what you're called to do.
So it's not only your professional mission, but it's your personal mission, because anyone who does social work or works in human services or works towards serving others, it makes perfect sense to me that you would have thought, okay, you got a little bit of your social worker hat on while this is going through. And you're like, okay, what can we do? And you know that journaling is therapeutic. And so to start the blog is just a very visual public journal. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, we used Caring Bridge. It was so healing for me. And Jason would read through, but I would write, but he always read the responses. And he never wrote a word, but I would talk about what's going on, it was the way that he actually knew what was going on with me, because I would write how I was feeling.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. And because it's hard to have as a caregiver, and I don't know if you felt this way with Richard, it was hard to have a conversation about how I was feeling with Jason, because I felt like such a jerk to say, hey, I feel really bad and this sucks and I really hate this. And oh, FYI, you got cancer. So I feel like a total B.
By the way.
I feel like a total B for bitching and complaining. And so I didn't know if you were able to ever really have those conversations with Richard about how you were feeling.
Well, not so much, but let me tell you about Richard's wisdom in this. He knew. If there was one person who knew what this was doing to me, it was him. Because he would often say, you're not taking care of yourself. I used to, where we lived in Florida, I would get on my bike and I'd go bike ride up and down A1A, which is kind of parallel to the ocean. Sounds like we live on the ocean, but no, I had to drive the car to the event.
Okay, we know you're
bougie. We live in the Barrier Islands, and I used to rollerblade and I used to do all those things that, you know, all of a sudden 50 pounds later, you don't see it yourself, but the person that you're caring for sees it because, and this is a very important point, they know, your care partner knows, whether the words are said or not, that you're their lifeline. And if you're not taking care of yourself, they're wondering, well, what's going to happen to them? And all too, especially as it relates to dementia care. And, you know, Richard did not have dementia, but he often thought I did, but that's supposed to be. But that's part of his humor. But, you know, we kind of lose track of our own needs, our own care, because we're so focused on caring for somebody else. But that person you're caring for, they know. Yeah. They may not be able to articulate it, especially as Richard was able to articulate it, but they know because they recognize you're their lifeline. And if something happens to you, what's going to happen to them? That's why I would just, you know, we were fortunate. We had open conversations. Not everybody has that comfort zone, but I encourage people to find their comfort zone with their, you know, I'll use the generic word, their care partner, so that everybody knows so everybody knows what they're feeling and how they can make an emergency just a tad bit easier, because there will be an emergency.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck. Fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So I know, and I keep going back because the purple jacket is so interesting to me.
Thank you.
But you talked about, you say that was somewhat, it was a symbol of self-care and self-compassion. Yeah. And that self-compassion portion of it, and the fact that Richard is really, you talk about that, but you talk about, and the fact that you put on there, because Chris, you're so honest in some of the stuff that you've written. And I read some of this in your bio information, as you know, you gained 50 pounds. So there are things that impacted you in the caregiving.
Right.
And I know a lot of our listeners, if you're listening out there and you've had things like, okay, I just mentally am exhausted. I've had physical impact from caregiving. Like, for you personally, like, what are some of those things? And then where do you feel like you got back on track when you started doing that self-care and self-compassion? Like, what helped you? Like, what is your advice?
Go-to,
like,
yeah.
What's your go-to?
Well, my go-to,
is it rollerblading? Is it bowling?
I knew it was rollerblading.
I mean, I've heard about some. I heard some bowling stories, but you know,
I've bowled one every once in a while. That's all. I think my, you know, again, some of this is in retrospect. Yeah. You know, for me, it was the blogging.
Yeah.
It was talking to other caregivers. It was talking to people who understood. Mm-hmm. You know, because we're, you know, the word journey always comes up in caregiving. We're all on this journey. And what I've learned along the way is there's no strangers when it comes to caregiving. Mm-mm. We all know each other. We may not know each other personally per se, but we understand. And I think for me that that comfort that came from talking to other folks, knowing that I could call somebody if I was having a bad day, or, you know, Richard and I, we, you know, it sounds like everything was always hunky-dory, but, you know, he and I had a pretty major blow up 6 weeks before he died, because when he decided he wasn't going to take any more medicine. But that's all. But you have to find the outlet, whatever that outlet is for you. For me, rollerblading, biking, sitting. You know, we were fortunate. You know, again, I had to drive to the ocean, but sitting on the bench, and you know, sometimes it was just him and I sitting on the couch watching TV.
Yeah, it's the shared times.
Yeah, it's the shared time, and that's what I miss. That's what I miss the most about him. Yeah. You know, I'd give my right arm for him to still be here, but not as he was the last 6 months. He wouldn't want that.
No, I totally agree with you. I talk about glimmers. It's finding the glimmers or those silver lining, those moments in the day that you have, for a split second, you forget the cancer moves out from in between you. And it could be the diagnosis moves out from in between you. And so rather it was, there's a photo of Jason and I sitting on Look in the Park off East 57th, looking at Roosevelt Island on the East River. And it was so sunny, and it was, and we were only there for 15 minutes because that's all I could stand. But in that moment is the moment that we felt so connected, and just, we forgot about cancer for 15 minutes. Yeah. Those are the moments I will never forget that. Those are those moments that are important.
Yeah. And those are the moments that bind people together.
Yeah.
You know, we signed off our blog, our Purple Jacket blog, all the time by saying, we might have cancer, but cancer never had us.
Mm. Yeah.
And I mean,
it still doesn't have you.
And it still doesn't have us. You know, I'm going to kind of get lighthearted here because it's been really deep and serious, but, which is good. But, you know, there's even leading up to 2 days before he died, when I've got my copious notes with the hospice and I'm talking to the hospice, you know, we were just coming here to get our meds changed. And, you know, he's not responding. What is going on? And they looked at me and they said, Chris, we don't know how this man has lived as long as he's lived, considering the amount of cancer that's in his body. Mm. It's a testament to the love and care that the two of you've had that he's lived this long. It's like, I think I cried for an hour after that.
Wow. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
It shows the power of connection.
Yeah.
Because it really does, and how that impacts the body, how relationships impact people.
I mean, we were about as opposite two people
can beyond the heights, LTO.
But we connected in one right beyond the
very two good. Opposites attract.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of my sisters asked me, she said, how did the two of you, why did you, you know, because they saw it. How did you two connect so well? Well, we were both the youngest of our families, and there was a distance between the siblings. And, you know, it's, you know, we had shared experiences that were similar, but different. But we just connected. Mm. And that helped too in bringing in humor.
Yeah.
Into the situation. And here's some humor when the nurse from Humana comes and sits down at the table, and she's going so funny. She's going through all the notes and telling him what he should eat. It was just, you know, all these healthy things. And he looked at her and said, look, lady, I'm between 80 and death. I'm going to eat whatever I want to eat.
That's exactly right. I am not going to die of heart disease. So, and if I do, I won. I'm not going to lie to you. I won.
And that was his deadpan, you know, it was, my God, the lady, she just, yeah, you know what? You're right. Yeah. Well,
she's like, screw it.
Was right.
It was right.
Yeah. I'm hoping that indigestion gets me, ma'am, but nothing else. So,
but then, you know, then, yeah. And then the other one that I think is important to, and we kind of touched on it, but it's, you know, it's, you know, creating that care team.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do this all by yourself.
We hear that so much, Chris.
Yeah. And everybody can have, you know, everybody has a talent, a role that they can play. And, you know, and here's the example that I always use with folks when I talk to them about creating a team and feeling comfortable about reaching out. You know, one of the, just talk frankly here, like we haven't been talking frankly. But
I know, right? let's talk about
you know, one of the areas of caregiving that a lot of people don't like to do, but they toileting.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
that takes a relationship to a different level.
It does.
Whether, especially if it's a parent, you know, taking your mom or dad, helping them at the most intimate times, and you know, Richard was fearless. He was fiercely independent, and him asking for help was hard. But when it came to the time where he needed help for the restroom, we made a joke about it.
Of course.
Of course, it was time. It was time for a pooparama.
That is relationship right there, Chris.
He'd look at me, I'd look at him, and he'd say, "It's time for a pooparama." He didn't say, "I need help." But he that was our code. Some days he'd be strong enough to get up and go and walk by himself with me standing behind him. Some days he had to use the walker. But I want to tell you and all your listeners and viewers, some of the best, most intimate conversations the two of us had those last 6 months was him sitting on the pot, me standing at the door, talking about our life together. Talking about the things the trips, the transatlantic cruises, the places we've been, the times together, what we wanted to continue to do. That's why it's an honor to care for somebody. Those conversations, those pooparama conversations, the best part of those last 6 months, because there's nothing more raw or intimate than having somebody help you in the bathroom.
You feel you're vulnerable. I totally agree. The fact that you could have a pooparama, because anyone who has cared for someone who has cancer or who has an illness that requires a lot of medication, the fact that you can have one, that's great. Because we talked about the bathroom a lot. Because Jason was on so many pain meds. And I don't want anybody to tell him I said that. But everybody knows when you're on pain meds.
You're on pain meds.
You can easily have a hard time.
Pooparamas are infrequent.
Yes. And so that's why those conversations during pooparama is so valuable. Because honestly, it's such a bit. That's the thing. Bowel movements are not talked about enough in public. Like, Natalie, there's no normal conversation.
Chris, I'm laying down the law here, because she's going to want to name this podcast Pooparama, and I'm going to have to lay down the law, and she's not going to be able to do that. So,
And I have to give you, a heads up. My next book is called Pooparama: Tales from the Kaboom.
Yes,
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll send you I have the cover, and we're working on it.
Oh, that makes
Tales
me so.
From the Commode.
I would like at least a T-shirt or something.
Can I want a Pooparama T-shirt. I want swag. Oh my god! I made it through Pooparama. I
just, and I know I'm like, oh my gosh, we have so much to learn from Chris. But I want to. I know that you wrote a book after the first book, obviously, was not Pooparama. Right. But then I love when, because there are so many. There's, if you're out there and you say to yourself, you know, I'm in the journey, or I finished the journey, but I haven't done these crazy things that so many of our guests have done, but you took this experience and you turned it into a lot more.
Yeah.
So just tell us a little bit about the Whole Care Network, because I think people don't understand. People don't know. I didn't know it was out
there. If you don't know the Whole Care Network, give us our
tell space. Us. Actually, the
Whole Care Network is kind of it started out as a hobby, and now it was my way of giving back to caregivers. Mm-hmm. As time progressed, I moved into podcasting, which I think is the best medium for caregivers, because you hear the voice, you hear the stories, you hear the inflections, you hear the reality of what's going on. And so I just, you know, it's like kind of like whole care for the person. That's what caregiving is really about. It's whole care. And so, you know, we kind of started the Whole Care Network. And you mentioned Elizabeth Miller. Elizabeth's a kind of a perfect example of what I tried to set up for the Whole Care Network. She was one of our first podcasts. Mm-hmm. And now she's a solo entrepreneur with 7,000-8,000 downloads per show. She's giving her message. She's sharing her message, as there is with many other people out there. It's this niche market. And I use that word lightly, but for me, it was an opportunity to give back to the caregiving community. And it also comes from my it's kind of my first job as in social work in St. Louis in the 1980s, if you can believe that. But or I was the director of an information and referral service hotline for Catholic Charities. Mm. You know, we'd have people call in from anywhere from, well, what time is mass at the cathedral till, you know, I'm thinking about committing suicide. I mean, you talk about
oh my gosh.
Well, I mean, you did say information and referral.
And referral. And but mindful that the mid-80s, there wasn't like these it was all on Rolodex and maps that we looked all this information up. So this is, you know, I come from a background of a trusted information and referrals to help people maneuver whatever crisis that they might be in. And that's kind of what the premise of my thoughts of developing the Whole Care Network was on this information and referrals service type of availability for people like myself. What was I trying to do when I got to caregiving? I was going to Google. Well, Google, a lot different in 2011 than it is now. Yeah. And so, you know, this network was built so that people could share their stories, because I'm a firm believer that the best information and referral and resources are from one caregiver to another. Yeah. Another caregiver is not going to tell another caregiver that to go to this place or that doctor when they've had a bad experience. Absolutely. It's not going to happen.
Absolutely.
So you can, you know, I've had people approach me about, you know, advertising on the network, and I'm all open to all that, but you know, I want to know your why. What's your story? Why are you in this? Because people who've been in it for a long time understand that's one of the most important components. And with what technology is doing for caregiving these days, I mean, it's phenomenal. But any caregiver who's listening, are searching for information, are looking for that magic wand that's going to help just even one day, they want to know what your why is, so that they feel comfortable in accessing your service, your product, and that's where I come back, where I say it's, you know, on the podcasting, because you can, like with what you've started here, people know immediately what your why is, and you become a trusted resource
exactly
immediately, because you're demonstrating to your listeners, to your viewers, what your why is.
Yeah, it's so I think for every one of us who are on Whole Care Network or who are raising our hands and lifting our voices to talk about it, it's more than a passion, it's personal. And that's what makes it a true passion, is that it's so personal. And we, in the end, none of us, we all know how we felt in our time alone. And in those moments when you felt in that aloneness, that's where we all keep saying, you're not alone, you're not alone.
You're not alone.
You're not alone, you're not alone. We're there with you. You can have these bad thoughts. You can have the good thoughts. You can have pooperamas. You're going to have all these things that you never expect, because no one has compiled it fully and said to say, here's the idiot's guide to caregiving, because honestly, it's so different, yet it's so much the same. That's the hardest thing to wrap around your head around, because it is so individualized, yet the commonality, the thread that we all have, this shared experience. It doesn't matter what diagnosis it is. It doesn't matter how
old.
It doesn't matter.
That's why there's no strangers when it comes to caregiving.
So true.
Yeah. You know what time it is, Jay?
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Time for more coffee, I know.
Oh,
it's sister question time. It is sister
God, am I used to sister questions in my life? Oh my God, am I used to sister questions?
So Jay, for anyone that does not know, Chris is known as the bow tie guy. That's true. If you're not watching on Zoom or video, Chris has a really long beard right now. So if he has a bow tie.
And I didn't put my bow tie on this morning, so my apologies.
But that's okay. But I need to know, like, okay, how long has the bow tie guy been in place, the name? And then secondly, what's the story on the bow tie?
Okay. So here's, I love these types of questions. Wearing bow ties exclusively on my 40th birthday.
Oh, well, you're only like 41. So it's only a year.
I've learned that birthday math from my sisters, because they all have that kind of math. Mm-hmm, also. Mm-hmm. But I'm an honest little brother.
Oh, let's have it.
So that's 26 years.
Okay.
Would you expect me to wear a straight tie?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a whole other question.
But we go forward in this car.
I use that line in my.
Yeah,
in my
honestly, question. We go you forward.
Expect me
in
to wear a straight tie? What do you want? But
26 years in a bow tie. That has got to have a background.
Well, I my father used to wear bow ties.
Yeah.
I just kind of like the look.
And it's fun.
It's a conversation piece.
It is. I love
and
bow ties.
I like to say, and it's probably out in some of my bios, you know, wearing a bow tie is like wearing two smiles.
Mm.
Love it.
It's so true.
Love
bow ties.
It.
Yeah, they're friendly. They're happy.
They're happy. They're conversational. Up until recently, I had about 100 of them. Again, I'm going to, I know this is.
You are the Imelda Marcos.
I'm the Imelda Marcos. But, you know, I have a great nephew who told my niece, and of course, my nieces and nephews, they all call me the FU.
Yes.
Favorite uncle.
Yes.
So my niece, and I call my sisters the Fab Four. So I always, but my niece said, you know, what are you going to do with your bow ties if something happens to you? I said, what? I said, because her son likes to wear bow ties. So I'm thinking, this conversation happened a number of years ago. So you know what I did this year? I packed up about 70 of my bow ties and sent it to him without notice. Mm.
That's the best gift.
It was the best gift. You know, I have my favorites. I have the ones that I started out with 26 years ago and I kept some of my favorites. But, you know, it's kind of like, why not give things away now?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That you know somebody else is going to enjoy.
Yeah, you get to see the joy.
I get to see the joy, and I had you know, now I'm the bearded bow tie guy, but I to me it's always been a conversation piece, and it's always been a way to make people because I'm might be difficult for some people to realize this, but I'm kind of reticent in a large group, it's just part of my style. I love it.
An extension of your personality.
It is.
Thank you.
It is an extension.
It is.
All right. So last question. Favorite question. What is your favorite guilty pleasure?
Oh, goodness gracious, St. Ignatius. I have not ever been asked that. What is my favorite
Saint Ignatius?
What is your favorite guilty pleasure?
What is my favorite guilty pleasure?
You don't have to share it. Nothing with anyone.
Stop.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
Yeah. My favorite guilty pleasure. Well, beignets at Café du Monde in New Orleans.
Do you have coffee or
with
milk?
Extra powdered sugar.
Oh, who doesn't love powdered sugar?
Do you get that in your beard?
And I love the remnants of it in my beard because the aroma of the powdered sugar and the fried
it wafts.
So I'm not showering for a day.
Oh, I love that.
That's awesome.
I'm going to tell you this. We're going to New Orleans. Our next podcast will be in New Orleans.
Second home for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Love it.
Chris, you are so fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today. You are a blessing. You are just an inspiration and you are a joy. So
thank you so much for coming on. Too.
Yeah. We'll honor our sisters.
You.
Yeah.
And thank you for being a part of the Whole Care Network and sharing your story with so many people that need to hear it.
It's an honor.
Yeah,
truly is.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening in. I know that you'll be blessed by Chris and his story and his words of wisdom and pooparama. So we'll see everybody next time when we confess again. Thanks so much.
Well, friends, that's a wrap on this week's confession. Thank you so much for listening in on UK Health Radio. But before you go, please take a moment to leave us a review and tell your friends about the Confession Show. Don't forget, visit our website to sign up for our newsletter and connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and Twitter. You'll also find the video recording of all our episodes on the Confessions website and our YouTube channel. We'll see you next Tuesday when we come together to confess again. Till then, take care of you.